Okay, everyone, we're gonna get started. Can you hear me in the back okay? Perfect. So my name's Heather Heidi. I'm a program manager on the project team. I've been there almost 10 years, which makes me feel really old, but I can help you go back with the history of features if you want later. And my role is basically figuring out what features we're gonna add to project client and how we should add them, and some of the project manager features and project server too. I used to go by Heather O'Call, finally got around to changing my name, so if I'm confusing you, I'm the same person. So that's me, and now I'm a little curious about you guys. I put curious into the search engine for clip art, and they gave me a cow, so I guess this is supposed to mean curious. So who in here is using Project 2013? Good amount of people. Who's on 2010? Probably the majority. Anyone 2007? You're starting to get a little old. You know, that was like 7 years ago. 2003 or earlier? Okay, you know, in 2003, like, Facebook wasn't really out, YouTube, smartphones. Just saying, but no. Hopefully this will be motivation to move forward. And then who is using Project Client connected to PWA, or Project Online Project Server? Oh, good number of people. Who uses it connected to SharePoint? And then who are the standalone users? Oh, so we're pretty well split on that one. So today I'll walk you through the new features that we added to Project 2013. So this will be a lot of what you saw in the keynote today, but instead of the 10-minute quick drive-by, we'll go a little more in-depth. Then we'll talk about SharePoint integration. So we did a lot of improvements in 2013 to how Project Client works with SharePoint sites, and we'll walk through that. Then I go into some of the more detailed stuff on requirements, so like what versions you need and stuff like that. And then finally, I'll save a lot of time at the end for questions. If you have questions, middle, try to hold them unless it's something really I left out or important, but I promise I'll leave time at the end. So what are some of the new features in Project 2013? So the first one is what I showed earlier today, the Getting Started template. You'll actually see these in all of the applications. And basically, in most of the Office applications, they walk you through the new features. So like the Excel one shows you what's new in Excel 2013, et cetera. Okay, the audio guy should be back too, but I'll try to talk louder. Is this better? Okay. So yeah, as I was saying, in Excel 2013, the template more shows you the new features in Excel. When we were looking at what to put in projects, we realized there's a lot of people who aren't familiar with Project. So we wanted to use our template as a time to show you the advantages of Project, or the advantages of using Project, in addition to highlighting some of the new features in 2013. But really to show people the value. So as I mentioned earlier, if you're doing a rollout and people haven't heard of Project, this is a good tool to point them to at least get them started. So another thing about templates, they're much more dominant in the UI. We boot you actually to seeing your templates. And one thing we added was the ability to set the start date when you use a template. So if you've used templates in the past, they're typically set in 2005, we find. This way you can set it to the exact date you want, so the template becomes much more useful right off the bat. We added link integration, so if you have Link 2010, Link 2013, or Link Online, you can add link integration in. And you, if you're connected to Project Server and these are user accounts, everything will just work for you. If you're using with SharePoint, it will work for you. But even if you're using the standalone, you can still use the link integration. You just have to type in people's email addresses. And I'll show you that later. But this is a feature that everybody can use as long as you have Link. And it's actually a very handy feature, because I don't know how often you are in a project file, and you're like, oh, I need to ask them a question, and they told me they give me an update, and they haven't yet. You can do it directly from here. And even if you notice, whoops, that's not the mouse, that we have the name of the file here, too, so you can have linked conversations and keep the topics more organized. Now, next, the new reports. And I'll demo a lot about the new reports during the demo part. But basically, they let you take the Gantt chart that we know project managers love And you know, we still expect people to live with the in the Gantt charts. Like, this is the most common view we have. This is where people spend the most amount of time. But you can't send this to people who aren't familiar with the project schedule. It's just too much information. They don't know what to do with it. The timeline view we added in 2010 was a great way to give people that high-level overview. And now the reports are given the stats. So we find that the timeline view plus the reports is really a powerful combination. It's like, let's give you the big picture, and then let's show you how we're doing towards getting to that big picture. For people standing, there's some seats all the way up here if you want them. Like, right over there. So that can take your Gantt chart to look like this. And you can customize every single thing on here. You can create new ones. It's very easy. I'll walk you through it later. So then task path, basically, as it says, it shows you the path of your task. Like, this schedule has a lot of crazy links going all over. For my active task, I can turn on predecessors. I can turn on successors. I can turn on, predecessors, driving predecessors, successors, and then driven successors. And those are very hard words to say all in a row. And then as you click around, your formatting will change. So this is, we have the task drivers that we added in 2007 to help show you what was all the factors affecting your task. But that one would not show you all the path. So you can combine these two to get a full idea of how why your tasks are showing up when you are. And we find some people still prefer the pane, some people prefer the highlighting, some people like the combination. So it's really up to you which one you want to use. So another thing I think they really hit on the keynote is there are now apps everywhere in Office. Office, SharePoint, like, you can't avoid apps, you can't avoid them in life, so we have them too. This is a great way to further customize your Office clients. So this is the app catalog showing all the ones that are publicly available. But notice how I have a My Organization tab between My Apps and Featured Apps. That's showing how if your organization wants to create apps that are very specific to what you guys do, they're not something you would ever, you know, put out there publicly, you can still have them showing up for all of your client users. And then the My Apps is just the ones you have installed. So now if you saw the news last week, SkyDrive is now called OneDrive. We have SkyDrive / OneDrive integration directly from the project client. So if you aren't in a company that has SharePoint and you need a way to share files with people, you can now save from the project client directly to OneDrive. This is also a good way to share files with people who might be external to your company, and it's harder to get them the files. So now, enough talking. I know these things get long days, so we're just going to go right into the demo. Okay, so I'm on my Win8 start screen, and I'm going to boot project. And one thing I want to step back first is that we love coming to these conferences because we get tons of feedback from you guys. Like, there's nothing most of the product team enjoys more than hearing how you guys use project. We get tons and tons of great suggestions. We can't answer them all, but we try to do as many as possible. And one thing you'll notice in Project 2013 is we no longer create Project 1 every time you boot the app. We now take you directly to where you can open a recent file or you can create a template. Like, this was a pet peeve of so many people for so long. And I just want to point out, we listened. But I'm going to jump into a template. And I kind of think we should do a merger and acquisition because let's buy something. And we'll buy something on Valentine's Day. Now, when I click create, I have my template. You know, you have your timeline, all this set up for you, and notice how my dates are starting on Valentine's Day. So it respects that setting, and I can immediately get started. And, like, clearly you can adjust this. If you go to the project tab, we have move project, and it's like, oh, actually, it's not Valentine's Day. It's my puppy's birthday, which is the 12th. We can easily shift the project by a couple days, weeks, months, whatever. And we actually, I encourage you to come back and look at the templates. We have quite a few that we have updated this release or added. We have a template, as I mentioned, the Getting Started one. We have one that walks you through how to create a budget. So if you're not familiar with budget resources, this template isn't actually meant to be like a project. It's meant to more be a tutorial. And we have somewhere we've updated the charts and reports for them. We have an Agile template. So if you just search Agile, because it typically doesn't show up by default, you'll see our Agile template. And it gives you a good example of how to do an Agile project in the project client. But let's jump to one already in progress. So the question was, ribbon tabs are in a different order. They're technically not a different order. We added the report tab. So that's they just scooted them over. We debated putting it at the end, but we didn't want to have view and format go away from each other because the format tab is all the commands about formatting your view. So we apologize if shifting them caused some issues. But hopefully the reports feature is worth it. And we have a vote that it is. Okay, so I have my project plan, and as I said, this is a local file saved just to this computer, but I want link integration in it. So I'm going to come in here, and I know Garth is online. Just go to email address and just type it in. Next time I will do a shorter email. And I think I typed that correctly. Oh, here it came up. Came up right then. Okay. So yeah, see, he's online, and so Garth, unfortunately, not like Eddie, is up here giving a presentation, although maybe he wants to be at Disneyland. But of course, I want to be presenting to you guys. So it's that simple. You can also add resources from your Microsoft address book, and that will come in with your email address, so you'll get link integration that way. And as I said, if you're using resources from Project Server or SharePoint, you'll get that link integration through that too. But I just want to make sure people always think like, oh, I'm not on Project Server, I don't get this feature. It's like, no, you do. You might just have to manually add an email address. So I mentioned task path, so I come back to my Gantt chart. You can see this file is pretty clear on where all my link lines are, but you know maybe this one looks a little funny. I'm not quite sure where this is coming from. And actually, this task has to slip out. So I want to see if task 21 is going to affect task 35. So let's go to the format tab of the Gantt chart, turn on task path for driving predecessors. If I scroll up, I can see, oh, task 23 is directly connected to that task. So if anything slips, it will push it out. So maybe instead of pushing out task 23, I add another resource. I do some other change so it won't be directly affected. And of course, your formatting changes as you click around. I can turn on driven successors so I can see the entire critical path, both before my selected task and both after my selected task. Showing how it is really all the way through the schedule. No tricks up the sleeves or anything. And then you can turn it off when you want. Remove highlighting, we'll remove all the settings. We don't want you to have to click each one individually. There's a lot of people, they don't like having it on the whole time. We find this is a better feature. Turn it on when you need it, because if not, the color's changing every time you click around. Does get a little old on the eyes. Okay, so now let's jump into some of our reports. So I said earlier, we have new reports. We have a bunch of templates we ship out of the box. You can create custom templates. You can put the templates in your global. You can share them out with your team. You can put them in the enterprise global, share them out with your team that way. So this really is like build it once, use it over and over and over. So let's go to the cost overview, since we didn't show any cost earlier. And you can see, oh, this project costs a lot of money, but how much are we on variance? Oh, we're actually quite a bit over here. We're quite a bit over our baselines. Rob, my skip level boss that's in the back, is probably not going to give me a bunch of extra money. Oh, and by the way, he's here, so can we clap loudly at certain times? You know, that'd be great. but let's figure out why our costs are over budget. So we see here it's kind of spread out over the various phases of the project, so we need to drill into some more reports to find out what's going on. So let's look at our cash flow report. We can see like, oh, we're definitely over our baseline. First quarter, second quarter, that's not enough granularity for me to really tell what's going on, so let's change that. And it's basically, anytime you select a chart or a table, you get the field list on the right-hand side, and anything you can do to that chart or table is essentially in that list. And you can do a bunch of different things, and I'll come here and show you a broad set of features. But one of them is I can change the time period. So by default, this one's set to quarters, and I think actually months is probably the level of detail I want. And like, you know, each project's going to be its own level of detail depending on how big it is, so that's always something you can change. And if you notice, you can also change the span. So maybe I don't want to see the entire project, I just want to see the first 6 months of the project. But anyways, I set that here, and you can tell, oh, you know, April's pretty expensive, but maybe that was planned. Let's see, I had a budget for this project. Maybe I'm over the budget. Oh. So I'm going to scroll down and add budget cost. Close the pane and say, like, oh, my budget was $18,000. I'm currently at what? 28 plus 6. I'm at 30-something. That's way over. So I still need to drill in and figure out what's going on. So let's try another report to see if that helps me out. We have cost overruns and, like, oh. So Garth is a super expensive resource, and I clearly did not plan on spending all this money on materials. I know we have to have the materials for this project. It's our new business plan we're doing together, and, you know, we need marketing signs, all that. So let's see if we can maybe clear some tasks off Garth to help fix this. So I can come into the team planner view, and basically, for those not familiar with this view, it shows you all the resources in your project, and it shows you all the tasks assigned to them. And you can easily reschedule a task just by simply dragging it to someone else. You can multi-select and drag to someone else. And it's a good tool for planning out your schedule, especially in this project where all the resources can basically do the same work, and it's really just finding the body that's available, so you're not really doing skills matching or anything. So I've moved a couple tasks off Garth. Let's see if this is helping. So to see, I want to actually split my view. So now I have my team planner on the bottom, and I have my chart, and you can see, like, oh, those couple tasks I moved. Garth, if you remember, I used to be like $5,000 over budget on, and now I'm only $1,500 on. So if I can move a couple more tasks on Garth, I'm going to go a long way to putting this project back on track. Because, you know, Garth, you know, he's a great worker, and, like, it'd be great to have him on this project, but we just don't have the budget for it. So I moved a couple more off, and you can see, you know, that's one thing we did. We're still probably over budget, but we'll have to find some other ways to cut back, and maybe Rob will give me a couple more dollars after he sees what a great presentation this is. So I'm going to come back here full screen. And then one thing we said was sharing. So we know no one, you know, does these reports and then tells people, oh, go open my project file and take a look at how the report is doing. You have to get it into some other format to show them. So we have a couple ways of doing that. We know that the whole paperless office thing is a myth for a lot of people, and printouts are still very popular. So one thing we've done to help that is you can turn on page breaks. And now if you see the dotted line, for whatever your default paper size is, so 8.5 by 11 for me, we'll show you your page, and now you can, you know, arrange your charts before you keep printing it and find that, oh, you know, you split a chart across two pages and no one can read it. So this is a very handy feature. You can also directly from here reset your margins and orientation if you want to change it to look better too. So maybe you're doing, you know, a large scale printout to put on the wall, you could update that here. Or, you know, you just want narrow margins to fit that in, because as you can see, I almost fit. Actually, I think my normal size is narrow. Narrow just barely had me fitting. This one doesn't, so I can rearrange it so maybe I can have a printout that works well. The other thing you can do, of course, is copy the report. I showed this earlier. You can paste it into PowerPoint. And now the data is no longer connected. So at this point, if I make a change in my project schedule, you're not going to see that here. I'm going to have to copy it again. But everything else, you can still change the formatting. I can select a chart. Wow, that's not what I wanted. You know, change it until there's one you like. You can still, actually you can't filter, sorry, I lied on that one. It's one thing we couldn't do. But you can still add access titles, you can do chart labels. a lot of things like that. So you can still change the look of it. Because, you know, sometimes the chart you want to see in project every day is not the chart that's going to show the best for the other people. So you can either create two reports, or you can do one report and then change the formatting over in PowerPoint, Word, Excel, Outlook. Now, we showed a lot of out-of-box reports earlier. I've been showing them throughout. The out-of-box reports are really there to help replace the old reports feature. So we did remove the old reports feature. Visual reports is still there, but the legacy reports feature that basically gave you that printout, we removed. So we replaced pretty much all of them with reports. We did another couple reports just off feedbacks, like the burn downs and the project overview, just common requests we have. But we know we didn't hit it all because everybody has a custom way of working. So you have a couple options. You can create a new report or you can customize ours. So a custom report I did last night, and I built this from scratch, and this took me 15 minutes. And actually, I think it looks fairly good, showing off some of the things. So you can put in pictures. You can put in bars if you want to make a little more designery. Although I must say last night, maybe it was a Super Bowl victory. Some of this doesn't look that good. So one thing here you'll notice is you can't read that at all, can you? So we can change that. So I can come to my grid lines, get options. And notice this major grid lines, this pane to help you format your chart, that is the exact same pane you'll see in Excel when you're doing this in PowerPoint and Word. So again, all built on a shared Office platform. You don't need to learn a new technology for any of this. And actually, that's not the one I wanted. I wanted to update those. So let's change our unit to 1,000. And oh, that looks much better. And you can close these whenever you want. They'll come back when you select again. So I was trying this radial chart last night. You know, I thought it'd be really fun for you guys. No one really gets it, though. Like, let's just change that to a line chart. You know, there's a time to be fancy and a time to not. This is probably not that time. So we'll just come in here, change chart type. I'll do a line. And now my chart is built off the same data that I had selected before, just in the new format. Finally, I said I can add fields to the table. So if I select my table and then go to table data, I'll get my field list back. I can add any field I want. So maybe I want ID. And then you can rearrange them here by just dragging the bars around. Make my table look better. Basically, you know, you know how to work in tables, PowerPoint. Same behavior again. I'm currently have this only showing level one of my project, so the same level one hierarchy that you use in the Gantt chart. Those controls are over here. I can update it to show all my subtasks, and now I have a very long table. I can even do the hierarchy if I want. So notice I added hierarchy, and now you see that with indentations. So you have that option. One best practice for tables is, and you'll notice this in all our templates, the table will always is at the bottom of the report because a chart is never going to grow in size as you get more or less data. A table always grows down. So that's why we always recommend them at a bottom, just an easy tip. And most of these controls are available in charts and tables. So you can use grouping in both. So now let's create a new report together. And one thing report I really liked earlier was upcoming task. Like this basically shows me how my tasks that are completing this week are going and how my tasks that are starting next week are going. You know, this is good, but I don't know about you, working 1 week in advance isn't really enough for me. I like to work 1 month in advance. So let's update this to be more of a monthly chart. So I come in here and I can see that the filter it's using is task starting soon. So maybe I need a monthly version of that. So this filter list is the exact same filter list you'll see for all your views. Same goes with group by, that's the exact same one. So if you create a filter for a Gantt chart, you can use that same filter for reports and vice versa. One thing you can't do is edit filters from the report. You have to switch back to your Gantt chart or some other view. I can switch back to my Gantt chart. Go into View tab, filters, more filters. And who heard Ludo say that developers are lazy? So, and he meant that in a smart, lazy way. Like, I could figure out how to do this filter on months, but I'm probably going to screw it up in front of all you guys. So I'm just going to copy this one. So month, task starting soon. So we'll just take a copy of this. And basically, all I have to do is change week to month. And let's apply it here just to make sure it's right. And let's see, my month is from, actually my month just started, so that the beginning's not much. And it looks like I have to the end of February. Perfect, just what I wanted. So now we have a filter ready to go. Well, we could create a new report, or we could be lazy again and start from our existing report. I'm gonna go back to upcoming task. I'm gonna change this filter. Instead of using task starting soon, I'm going to go to month task starting soon. And notice my table got a lot bigger. So it's now been updated to have all those tasks. And I can do the same thing to my chart here. Come on, laptop. And for the record, this is this laptop, not the software. There it goes. And I have a task due this week. I can make the same change to that filter for this and update this report however I want it. But now I have this report. And if you notice, I used upcoming tasks in the past. Now upcoming tasks is going to look like this for me. Well, I didn't want to actually overwrite that report. I wanted this to be a new report. So what I can do is go to Manage and click Rename Report. And now I have, did I click Save? And now I have a new report called Month Upcoming Task. So my upcoming task report, I can revert back to how it was, and I have this new report that I can then come. And I can copy it into my global, so it's there at all of my projects. Or if I'm in an enterprise environment, I can check out the enterprise global from PWA at this point and add it to that. And now every project manager in my company can be using this report. One other thing we know is people use tons of custom fields, right? Like, you can't avoid them. We know that there's only so many fields in Project Client, and everybody has their custom needs. You might have them coming from the server, or you might have local ones. Those are available in all of your reports, too. So let me just add one really fast. Say, maybe we'll call it risky. So basically, I have now a field I'm going to mark yes for tasks that I think are risky, and that way maybe I'll keep an extra eye on them. And we'll just mark a couple random ones, so we have it ready. So now if I switch back to a report, come on, field list, there it goes. If I come into because this was a text field, if you remember. And see, there it is right away, it's updated. If I had added instead of a text field, maybe I had done a cost field or a duration custom field, then those would also be available in my charts to report on. Another good example of where we see this a lot is resource custom fields. Sometimes you might not look at things at the resource level. Sometimes you might want to look at the broader team level or maybe roles. So I have my group filled out with a very simple team A, team B. So let's see how you use that. So I go into my resource overview, and it's like, oh, work status percent complete, but I really want to know team A versus team B, because maybe I, you know, then need to go to team A's manager and have a chat if they're not doing as well. So I group on resource group, and you can see like, oh, team B's fairly well along as expected, team A is falling behind. We can have a conversation with them. Or I can then from there also zoom down into it to see not only team A, but see each person in team A. And not to pick on the team A people, but we can also then filter to remove all those people. So maybe this is now, you know, set up well to show them how they're doing. I can have a talk with Team A's manager. They don't need to see the status of Team B right now. So I think as I tried to show here, the big takeaway I want you to get from reports is any data that's available in project, you can pretty much get it into the report, and then you can pretty much change it however you want. Like, think of it like an Excel experience. I built charts in Excel, and you can do it. The only places we've really customized it different from Excel is how our field list works, because, you know, Excel has any kind of field, anything. We kind of have a known structure, so we tried to help you by providing that field list with the known structure. So one other thing I mentioned earlier was OneDrive integration. So if you come to Save As, you'll see Sarah Davis's SkyDrive. This is all my SkyDrive folders. Sarah Davis is the account we're currently running under. So whatever, they're called Microsoft accounts, but basically Outlook, Hotmail, Live, MSN maybe still. I forget if those are still around. If you connect those accounts to your Office profile, you'll have your SkyDrive show up, and you can save files there. Or sorry, it's now OneDrive, SkyDrive OneDrive. Another thing I mentioned is we always are trying to get feedback from people. Who uses an active task? Has anyone played around with those? An active task? Okay. For those who aren't familiar with it, basically it lets you inactivate a task so the task is no longer affecting your project plan, but it keeps the task around in case you change your mind and want to keep doing it. So instead of deleting a task where it's completely removed, you can inactivate it. It doesn't affect your budgets, baselines, resource availability, anything like that. It's great, like software examples are always like, oh, we're probably not going to get to this part of the feature. We'll cut it for now, but you know, in case this part goes better than planned, we'll try to add it back because we really want this feature in. Another good use is, oh, we could fix this issue with this set of tasks or this set of tasks. Let me keep them both in so I can keep doing some what-if planning. Anyways, if you've used an active task in the past, when you inactivated a task that had others connected to it, they'd all jump back to the beginning of the summary. We thought it made sense. A lot of people gave us feedback it didn't. So with 2013, when you inactivate a task, it will only jump back to where the start date was of the task you inactivated. So it basically maintains your task relationships much better. This is a small fix. I just wanted to point it out as a good example of how, you know, we add features, you guys give us feedback, we take that in and we see what we can do with it and what makes sense, and we try to update the product. So make sure you keep the feedback coming. So let's jump back to our presentation. So who thinks they're going to be alive in 2049? It's depressing to think how old you'll be, but you know, we have a good numbers. Who thinks they're going to be alive in 2149? No one's optimistic. Oh, one guy is optimistic. Yes. Medical advances. Basically, Project had a own Armageddon date, as we called it, its own max date. It used to be December 31st, 2049. We have extended it another 100 years, so it's now 2149. So we'll be dead by the time this is an issue again. If you're wondering, the people actually hit up against 2049. It was starting to become more of an issue, clearly, as we get closer. Environmental companies who have very long time spans for when spills are clean, I guess, they were starting to hit this. So we took 2013 as a good chance to do this. So you get 100 more years. You can slip out that much farther. Yeah, pretty much. That's why I said we'll all be dead when it's an issue again, so we don't care. No, I'm actually kidding. This goes back to the limit comes because when client was actually first coded in the 1980s, you know, you're saving all your bits and they weren't thinking that long term. It's not quite the Y2K issue, but kind of the same level of thought. But we gave you another 100 years for free. So now project working with SharePoint. So there's a couple ways you can work with a project client with SharePoint. The first one is you can just save your project files up to SharePoint. This experience is better integrated in with your SharePoint places showing up. Additionally, we've updated it to support master projects and cross-projects links. So previously, if you had a master project or cross-project links, you couldn't save the project files to SharePoint. You'd have to put them locally on a network share, something like that. You can now save those up on SharePoint. The other thing we have is we sync with SharePoint task lists. We actually added this feature in 2010, but as I'll show you in a minute, we've greatly improved the feature. So if you used it in 2010 and were kind of like this about it, please come back and try it again. The basic premise is you can take your project file there on the left, save it to SharePoint. We create a SharePoint task list for all the tasks. And we also, now that we have timeline view in SharePoint, we'll create the timeline view in SharePoint. And all the data will be kept in sync. So notice how they basically look the exact same. So you can use the project client version as a project manager. Your team members, who probably need a much simpler version, maybe only to see the task, their due dates, what's assigned to them, they can come into the task list, and they can actually make updates directly in the task list, and those will come back into the project client. So if they, I can't really read what this word say, if they marked one of those tasks complete, the next time you open the file in the project client, you would see that task come in as complete. They would need a, the question is, if all they're doing is updating in SharePoint, do they need a license? They would need a license to SharePoint, not to the project client. Only the project manager would need project client. Can we try the same question? I'll take two more and then we'll jump back.
Does it work with SharePoint
2010? It does, but you'll get the 2010 experience. So you'll still get the folders and stuff, but you'll get, it works but with that experience. Because this is actually a completely new SharePoint task list that we added in SharePoint 2013.
Is there a way to disable it if you're enforcing timesheets in the project server?
Well, this isn't an enterprise project. This is just someone disconnected from project server. You could probably turn it off by doing some UI updates, but I think the better way to turn it off is that, hey, these projects don't count. You're not taking resources. So they would never get it through any kind of approval process. So as I mentioned, we have lots of updates if you've used the 2010 version. So if you never used the 2010 version, you can ignore this part. But if you have, the biggest improvements we have is there's no more folders. So in SharePoint 2010, you have the folder structure with tasks, and you'd only see one level at a time. Most common question we got is, why are all my tasks missing? It's like, they're not missing, they're in folders. The file is now saved with the list. So when you sync with SharePoint, we actually save the file up to the site assets of the project site. So then from any computer, you can open that file, it will bring down, open the task list, and sync it in. So it's much more portable. We now do cell level conflicts. So previously, we detect conflicts at the row level. So like if I change the task name and you change the task duration, those aren't conflicting updates. That used to come in as a conflict. It no longer does. We now have a timeline in SharePoint. Yay! You guys liked them so much, we put them everywhere. See, I told you we listened to feedback. But the timeline will sync back and forth. So if you make a task pink, everybody in SharePoint will see that pink task. And we improve the UX around setup and updating it. I'll show you that one. It's just easier to show it. But get excited, because we'll switch to another demo. We like stock photos at Microsoft. So let me switch to a different project plan. And now I have this stored locally, and I want to get it up to SharePoint so my team can start working on it. Actually, while I'm in here, do you guys know you can pin your most recently used files? Great feature. This is in all the Office applications. Just hover over here, you get a pin. Click it, and now your files show up here. Great for demos, so you don't have to be searching through this huge list of files in front of a crowd. Or like I have some Word files I'm constantly always referring back to, so I have them all pinned so they're just right there for me. So now I have this project and I want to save it up to SharePoint. So I'm going to come to Save As, and you'll notice one of my first options in here is Sync with SharePoint. And if I have an existing SharePoint site, I can sync it to that one, or I can create a new SharePoint site directly from here. So I'm going to create a new site. And then this is all pre-filled in because I was practicing. But we'll fill in the name, and then you'll have to probably set your site address. When I click Save, basically what's... Oh, and I forgot to delete it after I practiced. One second. See, this is why you shouldn't practice your demos.
Creating a subsite?
It's creating a new subsite under this right here. So you'll see this at disneylanderbus.sharepoint.com/annual-report. The first thing it's doing is creating a new site with a project site template. Once that's created, it will sync the task list to that task list, which it's doing right now. And then the last step is it's saving the project file up to the site assets library in that new site that it was created. So the first time you do it, there is a slight wait because, you know, we're doing a lot of steps behind the scenes. Every time after that, it is much faster. I promise you it's still going. Ouch. I won't repeat that comment for the audience. But it's doing a lot. Like, SharePoint site creation is only so fast. And, you know, that's first on the thing. So notice now I have a new project site in SharePoint. To whoever asked what the URL was, here it is. And you can put this anywhere. So say I already had, you know, disneylanderbus.sharepoint.com/site/teamA/projects. I could have specified that whole thing to put it under. Notice my timeline. This looks the exact same. Oh, I'll show you the timeline. That's not the file. There's the file. So it looks the exact same as this one. If I drill into the task list, again, this is the exact same task list that you were just seeing in the project client. And now if I share this site with all the team members, they can now come in here and collaborate on this project too. So I no longer have to send all my team members email being like, hey, here are the projects or tasks you need to do for the week. Are you done yet? Et cetera. While we have link integration, we still want to help you guys automate your jobs as much as possible. So maybe now you only need link integration for when you have to remind people about things, and they now can come here.
So is it the current week and then the day past the current week?
Due date is from the current day, so 4 days ago would be... It only does friendly formats when it's within like 5 days of today. After that, you'll just see February 17th. I just thought it was a little friendlier for team members. We really tried to make the task list in SharePoint as user-friendly as possible. You'll notice we're actually only showing due date and assigned to. You can add start date if you want and customize it. Totally up to you. You can also add custom fields and have those sync through, which I'll show you in a minute. But before we jump to that, I want to just show people. There are a lot of things you can do with project sites in SharePoint. So they demoed it a lot earlier, but just to reiterate, you know, you can have a OneNote notebook here that you can use. So, you know, there's lots of conversations, details, et cetera, about projects. You can store it all here. And now everybody knows where to come, and it's the same place as seeing their task. You can put documents up here. Whatever else SharePoint apps have, you can put them here. So this can really start to become the place where your team members live. But I said if you... that changed the sync back and forth. So I'm going to mark a couple tasks complete. And then I'm going to add another task at the bottom of my project file, just to show you nothing up the sleeves. This really works. So. And then when I click save again, those conflicts, or sorry, not conflicts, because they're not conflicting, the updates are going to come down. The new task is going to go up. So if we scroll to the top, notice all these tasks are now marked complete. If I come back to SharePoint and do a refresh, then my task is there too. So you can see very quickly, and like, look how fast that was. The first time, slow because we have to create sites, store things, task lists, et cetera. Second time, it gets very quick. You are correct. It does not support complex predecessors. Question, how long take you 15,000 tasks? I actually don't know. We won't try that right now, but I can. If you see me at a booth later, I can try to get you an answer on that one. But let's start creating from... So that showed you how if you have a project file, you can get it up into SharePoint. You can also go the other direction. So I have this demo site that's completely empty. And I was like, oh, maybe we're talking about doing this. And now we need a task list. So I can click on working on a deadline. And that will add a task list and a calendar to my site. And I can do this if the site had tons of things on it. Like, you can always add this. Now I get my task. It's not the way you want to do it. So you have new task or edit. You actually typically want to click edit because that gives you inline edit. You can very easily build out your project plan. Any shortcut key junkies out there, keyboard, love them. We support those here too. So you can't see what I just did, but Alt Shift right arrow will indent everything. So it works with the familiar ways you're used to working in Project Client. If you're not a keyboard shortcut junkie, which I encourage everybody to become, you can do that also through the ribbon. Question, can you copy in from Excel? Yes. You just have to match your columns. So I have this here, and now I want to get it into the project client because maybe it's like, oh, we need to do some task management, and then imagine this got much more complex. Now I want to bring it into the project client and actually like start to really manage this thing. So I can come to the list tab, say open with project. And again, it's creating the MPP because I need an MPP project file to put everything into. And now it's pulling the task down. And one thing, notice, I'm in this welcome to project view. So we actually added two getting started reports. The first one was just on first boot you get out of the app, like the very, very first time you boot, or is there for to introduce people to new features. This one is more targeted at people who are coming from SharePoint into project, also trying to show them, like, why would you open your project, your task list from SharePoint in the project client? What are the first key advantages? So some of the same things. Demo resolutions don't look as good with it, but it shows me how, oh, I can add a lot more detail to my task here. I can measure progress here. I can create dependencies here. A lot of things that you can't really do in SharePoint. So speaking of dependencies, let's link these together. And then I'm going to also, in SharePoint, change a due date, so we'll see the conflict dialog. So Valentine's Day seems to be working for us, so we'll add that one. And now when I click Save, and actually I didn't do a conflict, I forgot that one won't work. So, okay, we'll set this to 212, 14. Okay, so I have one at 210, 2014, and one at 212. Oh, that's not the right schedule. And you can cancel it midway. You click Save. See, and now I get the conflict dialog, and I can choose which version I want to keep. In this case, I want to keep the project client. Now, lastly, before we move on, I had mentioned you can have your custom fields go through. So let's come back and say, I still like that risky custom field. And we'll add it for a couple. Now, I want people in SharePoint to see that, too, because I want them to know their tasks are risky. I can choose not to. I can add, you know, every custom field under the sun here. I can do complex cost tracking if I want to, and I don't want my team members seeing any of that. I just choose not to add those fields, but I want them to see this. So you go to File, Map Fields, add a field. So I go my risky, and I can name the column in SharePoint, so maybe I want to change the name. I'll just keep it risky, though. Now when I save again, that field is getting added to the list of fields that are synced. And when I come back to my site, if I come in to modify this view, I will see risky in my field list. And when I add it to a view, you will see that all that data came through. So this is actually a pretty powerful feature when you might not be in the project server world, might not be ready for project online, but you still don't want to just be sending around, you know, emails, Excel files with the list of tasks. You want it in one central place where your team members can see it. Okay, so let's talk requirements. So now a big question we get a lot is project standard versus project professional. What's the difference? Projects get standard, great product, of course. You get scheduling, you get most of the rich views, you get that new reporting feature I showed you, so everything with the new reports, all of that is in Project Standard. Project Professional, everything in standard. Plus, it connects with SharePoint task lists and PWA. So standard does not connect to SharePoint task lists or PWA. It's probably the most important differentiation to notice. Project Professional also has the team planner view. Inactive task is pro only. The new link integration is pro only. And also, Professional you can get in the click to run version, which is the subscription through Office 365. Speaking of that one, which one between Project Pro for Office 365 and Project Professional 2013? Well, the biggest difference from the pocketbook is Project Pro is a subscription that you can pay for monthly or yearly. Project Professional, you buy it outright and it's yours. From the feature point of view, Project Pro, you get the automatic updates. So as Microsoft releases updates, they get pushed down to you. If you were really paying attention to during my demo, they actually popped up and tried to push one down on me. little too good. You can install it on 5 devices. So, you know, I have multiple work machines here. I have a home machine. Since I have this not a machine-based license, it's a user-based license, I can put it on all 5 of my machines if I want. And it's only available pro only, so if you want standard, not an option for you. Why might you go Project Professional? So you control everything, so maybe you don't want people getting the automatic cumulative updates, something like that. You can control that. And the on-premise version also comes in standard. So one thing you get, actually, I have to do a quick change while I'm saying this, is there's something called Office on Demand now that comes with Office 365 subscriptions. Not well understood, so I want to take this time to demonstrate it. And it takes me 1 second of setup, so bear with me. Okay. So basically, Office on Demand is pretty cool new thing that was launched. And basically, it lets you stream Office onto a machine that doesn't have Office within a matter of, well, I think it's actually less than a minute. Okay, so this machine, this is a machine I checked out from our lab. It does not have Project Client on it. So I try to open this MPP and notice it's really not there. I'm getting a file. Windows can't open this file. So I come to my SharePoint site. So this is basically off the My site for the user I'm in. You can launch all your Office on Demand apps. So I'm going to click Project. And they're setting things up right now. And I'm in a horrible resolution for this, but it will work. And basically what it is doing is streaming everything down onto Project, onto the computer. So I'll have Project within a matter of minutes be able to use it, do whatever I want in the Project Client. So full features will be there. Oh, here it comes. And then when I close Project, it's all removed. So say, okay, who's Northeast Midwest people here? Okay, congrats for being able to leave town and get out of your winter vortexes. Maybe some of you were stuck someplace. You weren't planning on it with all the winter storms coming in. Actually, I moved the file. That's why I did that. So this is the same project file I tried to open earlier and said it couldn't. So let's see if it can open it now. So maybe you were stranded somewhere and you really wanted to get some work done. You didn't bring your work laptop because you're like, oh, I'm not going to need that. I'm coming for dinner, not, you know, the week. But actually, you did get stranded there and you needed to do something. You didn't want to use one of your 5 installs on them because, you know, this is grandma's house and she doesn't need to have project. So you could stream it down in her, update your project file. Notice this is full project. You know, I can come in, change things. I have my views available. I don't have any resources, so that doesn't look good. But everything is here. When I close out a project, it is all removed. And now if I come back and try to open this file, it's no longer there. So very secure. So this is one of the advantages of getting Project Pro for Office 365. It also works with all the other Office apps if you buy the other Office app subscriptions.
So local admin rights required to do what you just did?
I didn't hear the first part.
Local admin rights?
Local admin rights, no. I think you just need to be a basic user on the machine and it will work. So a couple other quick things, and then we'll open up for questions. So what do you need? Another common question we get is, you know, do you need to match Project Pro for Office 365 with SharePoint Online? And do you have on-prem with on-prem? No, you can use either one with either one. They're all the exact same once you actually have them installed, so they can connect to anything. Some compatibility things. So this is the same file format as Project 2010. The only issues you'll hit, like if you're trying to save a file format that goes beyond dates beyond 2049, we'll tell you you can't open that in 2010. Like you, of course, won't see the new report features in 2010, but the reports will still be there the next time you open the file in 2013. And you should all move to 2013 anyways, really. So it works with SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint 2013. If you're trying to do SharePoint task list sync, as someone back there mentioned with 2010, you will get the old SharePoint task list experience. You have to be in SharePoint 2013 to get, of course, the new greatness. And Project 2013 works with PWA 2013. It's the only version of the client that works with PWA 2013, so Project Online or Project Server. As I tried to call out many times in this thing, we love hearing feedback for you, so please stop by at the booth. Come talk to us, the green shirts. We have a lot of people from the product group, and we very much value hearing how you guys actually use Project. It helps us build greater features, which works better for you. And then let's see if I can show it. Another great way to give feedback is if you notice all applications have the smiley face in them now, you can easily send what they call them smiles and frowns. So if you have something you like, you can send it. Something you don't like, you can send it. We rarely respond to these just because of lack of time, but these are in a huge database, and anytime we have questions about any kind of feature, we consult this database to see what people are saying about various things. It has greatly helped us fix some bugs and change some of the feature designs by looking off this data. So no, it doesn't go into a black hole. And then any questions? So the question is basically, are we going to add more text custom custom fields to Project Client? So great feedback to hear that people are running out of those. One thing I'd like to point out is in Project Server, Project Online, you have essentially unlimited custom fields. So that's a good way to work around that if that's an option. But it's good, see, as I said, it's good feedback to hear that people are running out of the 30, so we can look at taking it more. We've definitely considered and heard the feedback. We don't have more, if so. Other questions? So the question was Project Online limiting you to 99 custom fields? I'm not actually sure. There's some people at the booth who work much more on Project Online side than I do. If you stop by, probably one of them will know it, or if you ask me later, I can get you some contact. Yeah. Yeah, you all have 3 months, so hammer away. Our engineers just exploded. Any other questions? So the question is, essentially, can you filter down to see what tasks are directly affecting the task or task path?
Visual is good enough for what's on your screen, but you really want to see what's affecting.
Yeah, we actually, for a task path, don't have a field that you can filter on. We considered it, but since it's so easy to change selections, we were concerned that the field would constantly be changing. And then once you're filtered on something, filters aren't dynamic to change again. I'm like 90% sure that field is available through the object model, so that it is something you could potentially customize on your own.
The critical path on now is more or less useless.
Yeah.
Because we want a critical path decision, and that feature would be great, but I can't make it useful. And then it's good to know that we have something.
Makes sense. I can check later. I'm like 90% sure it's in the object model. But great feedback too to hear. Any other questions? So great question. Question was basically, does project fully support hammock task? So for years, have you seen the help article on paste links? Yeah. So we don't have, we still don't have integrated support for a hammock task. You can still use the workaround using the, paste link, thank you, using paste link. I know that's not ideal. Yes. I know, and I was giving Hilberatus on 2003 a hard time. So no, that's great feedback. So I'll take some more questions, but just to get to the last slide, please fill out your evaluation forms. Not only can you win prizes, but it helps us all become greater speakers. And I'll be up here for a while for questions, too, or come find us at the booths. We're running a couple instructor-led labs, which will walk you through all the 2013 features we saw. We also have labs for Project Online, getting started, and then just overall Project Online, if you're interested in those too. But lots of advantages. So please participate in all those. And thank you very much.